Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you, and welcome back to the Drive Time Show at Voice of Islam UK. You were listening to us in the previous hour where we discussed about faith and news, and we had a wonderful discussion, especially with our guest as well, where they explained with their experience and about what's going on the social media and on media in regards to news. But in this hour, we will be discussing about another topic, another interesting topic, which is the Girls' Day and why there is a need for the female empowerment. And it's very interesting, very important topic as well, because these rights for girls, for women, are not given to everyone, and there is definitely especially in some of the countries, these not all the rights are given to women which they deserve, right? So today, in this day, as in Tuesday, the 10th of November, it's marked as the UNICEF's 10th annual International Day of the Girl, of Girl Child. During this hour, and we will be discussing this issue facing the issues facing girls across the world right now, from education and employment inequalities to child marriages, girls are still facing hurdles to success all around the world. We will also discuss ways in which gender inequalities can begin to be eradicated, and that's a very important topic as well. And despite this common misconception, we will also discuss about Islam, how Islam has given a woman rights for centuries. In chapter 4, verse number 125, the Holy Quran says, "But who does good works, whether male or female," it's not mentioned, just male, right? So male or female, "and is a believer, such shall enter heaven and shall not be wronged, even as much as the little hollow in the back of a date stone," right? Islam's rights to women and the equality for women and the main task or main message of Islam is to become closer to God Almighty, right? To recognize God Almighty. And in the eyes of God, if you're righteous, that is all what matters, right? Yes. And God doesn't distinguish man or woman. And indeed, a woman can be higher in status of righteousness, right? In the eyes of God, and who is the creator of everything, right? A woman is more than a man, right? So in the eyes of God Almighty, all his creation, including man, woman, they're all the same. Now, we will discuss in today's show, will mainly aim to explore the important roles women play all across the world, both in the home and the workforce, and even wider society. And we will also cover the rights given to women by Islam centuries ago, 1400 years ago, with the similar rights that were awarded by the Western societies, right?
Zakaria.
So, yep. Go on.
So I'll just know when you're speaking about what a woman has done in home or outside at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our mothers, our sisters, and they, what's it called, at home, your mother is your first teacher when you are born. Your mother's actually your first teacher before any other Mr. Mrs. X, Y, and Z teaches you in primary school or nursery. Sorry, yeah. The nursery, then primary school, right?
Yeah.
And it's your mother who's your first teacher, very first teacher.
Yeah.
And a mother is a woman.
That's true.
I
think mothers are more connected with the children. Most of the upbringing happens from
the mother.
Mothers, isn't it?
That's why it says that the paradise lies underneath the feet of your mother.
Exactly. I mean, there's a very famous hadith as well, right?
Yes.
Where a companion or someone a Muslim came to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and correct me if I'm wrong, and he asked, who is more higher in status in my eyes, my father or my mother, right? And the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, your mother, right? And then he asked the same question, who's after my mother? Then he said, your mother. Three times he emphasized on the point that your mother is the most important person. And then the fourth time, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, your father. So can you imagine how important a mother is for every human being?
Yes, because she is your first teacher. And even, I think, the second caliph, Hazrat Khalifat al-Masih al-Thani, Hazrat al-Anhu, also stated that if I'm able to present my point, you know, it's going to take 1 second. If I can get it, I'll tell you the correct wording of it also.
Sure, yep.
A woman understands and tells those women who you are... It is only women who can challenge Satan permanently.
Wow.
It is only women who can challenge Satan permanently.
Mm-hmm.
If a woman decides that they are going to make the future generation servants of religion, then who will Satan corrupt? So
wow.
It's a really powerful point. Sorry, I couldn't find it. I had taken it up beforehand. I was like, okay, when it comes out, I'll mention it today.
Perfect.
But my laptop...
So this is a quote of...
Khalifat al-Masih Thani, second caliph.
The second caliph of the promised Messiah of the Ahmadi Muslim community. Okay, so it's so true. I mean, it's a mother who can actually defeat the devil, because the mother will bring up the child in a way that
they will
be the servants of God Almighty.
Indeed.
Will be,
you know. So this is, you know, when I was researching about this topic also, then this came up.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. It's like, okay, this is one point. Mm-hmm. I think I haven't heard it before as such, because when we say, okay, you can defeat Satan by praying and all this,
it's the first time I've heard this, but it's so true. It's so true that a mother's upbringing is everything, right?
Indeed.
If your mother brings you up in a way that you can fight Satan, you will fight Satan, and it's in her hands to bring you up in a way that you are at the moment, right? So of course mothers, they are very, very important in our lives. Saad, could you also tell us, you know, as we are also we will be discussing about the issues that girls face across the board, could you tell us about that?
So then there are huge issues that women and girls are faced with every day across the world, that boys and men, ourselves, me and you, who don't have to endure these kind of difficulties. So UNICEF did a study. So in education worldwide, nearly 1 in 4 girls between the age of 15 and 19 are neither employed or in education or in training.
Yeah.
Whereas compared to boys, 1 in 10 boys. So 1 in 4 women who haven't aged 15 to 19 who are neither employed nor in training or in education. My younger sister right now is doing criminology, right? And when I heard about this, she's younger than me. I was like, wow, okay. There's some massive indifferences, which in worldwide on a bigger scale, the women face. And when I was called my younger sister, I was like, you're studying criminology, and you know it's very, you know, with a girl studying this kind of topic, sometimes people say why didn't you go to something simpler, let's say, which is easier for a woman, what they say, you know, what older generation normally say sometimes. That's a cultural thing,
probably
also.
Hear it from the uncle or
it's a cultural thing though. It's not what the Islam teaches. Islam says if you have to go to China to get education, you have to go there.
And the Holy Prophet didn't say that it's for men only. It's for
it's not just for men.
It's for everyone. Yeah.
Everyone. If you learn something from China, go to China and learn there.
Exactly. Why did the Holy Prophet say China specifically?
I need to research about this, Zachary.
So I think back in the days, during the time of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, China was the hub of knowledge at that time.
Yes.
And afterwards, it became the golden age of Islam, where people from around the world came to the Islamic empires to seek knowledge, right? I think China was also, what I understand of these things is, one, China was the hub of knowledge at that time, during the time of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. But also, what I also understand from this is that the effort that you have to do to go all the way to China, which was possible at that time.
It wasn't like you book a British Airways flight and you over there in the next 5-6 hours.
That's basically the other corner of Asia, right? So you have to go all the way on the edge of the world.
And that time you have to book.
Exactly. I mean, the reason I'm saying the other corner is because China is like,
it's massive,
but also on one side, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, you had to travel for a very long time at that time to go to China. And the effort that you have to put, that is what all matters, right? So if you have to gain knowledge, what the Holy Prophet is saying, that you should go and go anywhere you have to go, but put the effort to learn about anything that you need to learn, right?
Yes, and even regarding health, gender norms and discrimination heighten their risk of unwanted pregnancy, HIV and AIDS, and malnutrition, especially in emergency settings and in places where menstruation remains taboo. Girls are cut off from the information and supplies they need to stay healthy and safe. That's also a very, not very big thing that we say, oh, you shouldn't talk about this kind of stuff, about HIV, AIDS, and menstruations, and refrain from it, because these topics are these are big no-nos, right? If you don't talk about them, and if you don't educate people, without educating them, it make, you know, for health issues, a lot of health issues will arise.
Yeah.
So we should, always educate them, always tell them. And if you refrain from telling what it is, people will not take some wrong turns, and which will affect the health.
Definitely.
So it's really difficult sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. What I want to add on this is there are, you know, countries, for example, India, they made a movie called Padman.
Yes.
Right, where this man, he invented the menstrual, what's it called, the pads, right?
Yes.
Menstrual pads. And before that, it was a taboo to speak about this, and they used to use, you know, clothes, just not normal cloth, and they used to wash it, or sometimes, you can't wash it, and they used it for many days. So something, when not discussed, there will be issues in the society, and people will die and get infected as well. So let's talk to our first guest for this hour. We have Portia Kufur, who is an enterprise development manager at CampFed. Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you, and welcome to the Drive Time Show.
Hello, thank you for having me, and thank you for having CampFed.
Thank you for joining us today. Can you tell us a little bit about CampFed and the work that you do?
Yes, sure. CampFed, which is the full name, is the Campaign for Female Education. It's a Pan-African movement that supports girls in some of the most marginalized communities in Ghana, Malawi, Tanzania, Zambia and Zimbabwe to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
So we support girls to go to school, to learn, thrive, and become independent, influential leaders.
Mm.
We work in a context where girls face many more barriers to education than boys, especially at the secondary school level, and are pushed out of school due to many factors grounded in poverty and gender inequality. Our programs provide both financial and social support, and are owned and actioned by the communities where we serve. Importantly, a large proportion of our leadership here at CampFed, from grassroots to the international level, is made up of women who were once themselves supported through school by CampFed. They represent a new generation of women leaders who have formed a peer support network that we call the CampFed Association. And this network is made up of 208 1,000 young women, and they are spearheading comfort programs across Africa. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, you guys are doing a wonderful job in teaching and for the education of girls. But, you know, for some people who are not, who might think that, you know, it's not really important for girls' education or for the girl to be educated. Why is it important, you know, to you and your organization to educate girls specifically?
Great question. For me, girls' education and women's empowerment, for that matter, is fundamentally about fairness and justice. But it's also the closest thing we have to a silver bullet that addresses almost all of the world's challenges. You know, it's the basis for female representation and leadership in all walks of life. Girls' education contributes to social justice, gender equity, economic development, and is key to climate action. Mm-hmm. We know that societies that are more equal are more stable, peaceful, healthy, and prosperous. So educating girls creates a more equitable world for all of us. And every day in my work, I see this incredible energy, commitment, expertise, and wisdom in the girls that Comfort has supported. You know, they have gone on to become doctors, nurses, teachers, social entrepreneurs, lawyers, and engineers, and they are helping thousands more. They compound and multiply their investments for education that Comfort and others have made in them. So it's a crime against humanity, really, when that potential is wasted by denying girls the right to education. Thank you.
Thank you, Portia. You know, but one question our listeners want to find out is, how can we help and support your organization and that you can continue such an amazing work?
Yeah, and thank you for us. So those who wish to support Comfort, you know, can donate or help to raise funds. And just to touch on some of the numbers, it costs about £10 a month to support a girl through secondary school. And that funding will help her to cover school-going costs, uniforms, you know, shoes, stationery, sanitary wear, etc. On our website, we have, you can find our Million School Days fundraiser. It's another way to get involved in our work and support. So if you visit comfort.org, and click in Ignite Change. There are lots of ideas and ways to help, including for businesses. Others could sign up to our Sisterhood Pledge. You know, and all of this information is on our website. And if you want to join our campaign for the Day of the Girl, our hashtag is EducationMyPower. And you can follow us on our social media.
This was the main thing, you know, we want to get across to the audience, especially how they can help and fund such an amazing organization. But, you know, a small question. Did Comfort have an impact also throughout Africa and these girls?
Yes, that's another great question. So together, as I mentioned, with the 208,000, you know, previously supported young women in our network. So together with these young women, our community champions, our donors, we have supported a total of 5.5 million children to go to school across five countries in Africa. And because our model is sustainable and scalable, we continue to grow in reach and ambition all the time. And in fact, our ambition is to support another 5 million girls within 5 years. So create 5 million more game changers.
Wow.
And as I previously mentioned, the direct impact we have through education is multiplied by the young women leaders in our network. The educated young women, as I previously said, are spearheading our programs across Africa as guides. So, for example, you have learner guides who are girls who were previously supported by Comfort, who are in schools supporting young girls who, you know, are facing the same vulnerabilities they face. Socially, they're supporting them socially and through life skills mentoring in school. We've got transition guides, and as the name suggests, they help young women who have just finished secondary school to further their education, to transition to further education, employment, or entrepreneurship. And they do this by providing advice, mentoring, delivering comfort training to young women who find themselves at a position where they themselves were once upon a time. And then, of course, we have what we call business guys and agriculture guys. These were all young women who were previously supported by Camfed, who are leading our business and our climate smart agriculture programs by delivering training, mentoring, and facilitating access to markets for our young women. So we have seen, you know, the improved status of girls and young women, the change they're leading in their communities. And when young women step up as role models within their communities, the impact is positive, it's direct, and it's very tangible where they live.
Thank you. Thank you, Pootie. I hope and pray that you reach your 5 million goal soon and help all these girls, young girls especially, and reach the education which they are craving.
Thank you so much. That's really kind.
Thank you so much. Have a nice day.
Thank you too. Bye for now.
Bye.
So yeah, so that was we had the first guest, Pootie Kofur, Enterprise Development Manager at Camfed. Very, you know, wonderful work that they're doing,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, just for the audience, you know, you can visit the website also, it's camfed.org, mm-hmm. and you can help and donate.